Appreciate the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Wasn't for his blood, we'd all be headed to hell. I'm grateful that he went to Calvary for me this morning. Take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. It is a privilege to be with you. And I'd like to say we do have some CDs out there. And that jewelry is, that's my daughter's stuff there. There's not a lot of allowance when you live this life, just living by faith. And so if that jewelry's a blessing to you, ladies, it'll be a blessing to them. And also, we host a camp meeting in Gatlinburg. It's the third week in October. This year will be the week of the 16th, that Monday through Friday. And there's a postcard on the table, a ministry card about it. And if you're interested, we'd love to have you come out. This will be our fourth year, and the Lord's doing a great work there. People from all over the country coming in. And go by and get that card, too. We'd appreciate you looking in and maybe meeting with us up in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. We're in Luke chapter 7 this morning. I'd like to read, if you would, some verses out of this passage. I think sometimes we go too fast. We don't take time in the Word of God. And so I'd like to read the scriptures here, and we might set the stage for the message. The Bible said in verse 36, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. When he had nothing, when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. She hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? He said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Father, I love you this morning. God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your care. And Lord God, now you know everybody gathered in this building. God, you know what's on our mind. You know what troubles our heart. You know the circumstance of every life. Father, I pray, God, would you draw us into thy holy presence. Lord God, I pray that your saints would be, God, encouraged and challenged. And Father, I pray that those that are lost this morning, that you would show them their need of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And even today, Lord, they would be saved. Father, I raise my hands towards heaven and I worship thee. Thou art my God and you're worthy of praise and honor and glory. I pray, God, to do a work in this place, in this hour. In Jesus' name I ask it, amen and amen. I want you to notice that first of all, it's a Pharisee. If there's one thing that God really didn't care for, it was Pharisees. And if there's one thing that we as God's children ought to shy away from, it's being a Pharisee. A Pharisee is somebody who is sure that they're going to heaven and sure that they're righteous, but nobody else is as righteous as they are. I'll tell you something, there's no more evil spirit that could get on God's people than that. A Pharisee is one who looks down their nose at everybody else, is always causing contention and divisions, and doesn't care whether a soul goes to heaven or to hell. And so there's this Pharisee here, and God help us never be like that. But then I want you to notice that the Bible said he went into the Pharisee's house and sat at meat with him. I'm glad that God, listen, God is not real choosy. If that Pharisee didn't deserve the Lord to sit with him at meat, you and I certainly don't deserve that the Lord would sit with us and come by our way. Yet God humbles himself, the Bible said, to behold the children of men. I'm glad he went by the well where that sinner woman was and drew her unto himself. And if you're saved this morning, you're saved because God went where you were. In your sins, in your trespasses, in your depraved state, in your status of headed straight to hell, God went to where you were and drew you unto himself and saved you. I'm glad that God is interested in sinners this morning. But then you notice this other character in the story, this woman. Twice she's called a sinner. Once she's called a sinner by the Pharisee. And as he looks at her, his ideology about her is terrible. He knows all her public sins, and he probably talks about her sins, and everybody knows what kind of woman this is. They've been talking about her, and that's a travesty that somebody would focus in on somebody else's sins, and he calls her a sinner. And sin ought to make us ashamed, and sin ought to make us want to help somebody up out of sin, but he focused on her being a sinner. But also, the Holy Ghost of God called her a sinner in this passage. And when God looks down on the human race, we're not getting better and better. We're definitely not evolving. We are devolving. We are full of you. If you're not saved this morning, when God looks down upon you, he sees all your sin. He sees the way you are. You can't hide that from God Almighty. The only way to take care of sin in our lives is the blood of Jesus Christ, which covers our sin before God the Father. And that happens when somebody calls upon the name of the Lord to be saved, calls her a sinner. But she comes in here and she is thankful to God, and she begins to worship him and laud her thanks upon him. You know, we oftentimes we get pretty unthankful in our lives. We plow through life and we're full of more complaint oftentimes then we are thanks and worship unto God. David said in Psalms 18, therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Again in chapter 79, so we thy people and sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. One more time in chapter 106, praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Everybody else said, in this room, they ain't got much to say about the Lord. They're not giving any thanks. They're not giving any praise. But she comes in there with a purpose. She wants to worship him. She wants to give him thanks. He told Simon, this woman has much love in her because of where she's been brought from. And she wants to bestow that love upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought, listen, we ought to be, if you're saved this morning, you got something to be thankful for. You might say, you don't know where I'm at in life, Brother Tab. You don't know what's going on. I tell you, it don't matter if you can't find anything else. You can find one thing to be thankful for. The Bible said in Luke chapter 2, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. If you can't find anything else to be thankful for, if you can't find anything else to give him some worship over, worship him and thank him because he's your Savior. Amen. William Shakespeare wrote this, O Lord that lends me life, lend me a heart replete with thankfulness. Warren Wiersbe said, one of the evidences that we have grown accustomed to our blessings is the spirit of criticism and complaining. There's always a reason to be thankful to God in your life, child of God. Two men were walking through a pasture, and in a little while they heard a snort behind them, and they looked to see a bull that was pawing the ground. And they realized he was headed towards them, and they began to run. And the bull was catching up, so they ran harder, and the one looked at his companion, and he said, "Put up a prayer for us, Johnny." Johnny, gasping for breath, said, "I can't. I've never prayed a prayer in my life." They looked back at that bull, and his companion said, "But you must put up a prayer for us, Johnny." Johnny gasped for breath, and he said, "Okay." He said, "I'll pray the only prayer I know, the prayer my father prayed when we sat down to eat." And he began to lift up his voice as he was running, "My Father, we want to thank you for this that we are about to receive." I tell you, always give God thanks in your life. He's worthy of our worship and our thanks. In 1982, Nick Vujicic, I can never say his name right, Vujicic, was born with tetramelia syndrome. That's a rare genetic disorder where you're born without your arms and without your legs. If you look up Nick, you'll find that he has two little appendages of feet kind of thing attached to the bottom of his torso. That's the way he was born. Nick had to overcome that. As he was growing up, he had to come to terms with that. He had to deal with the societal look upon him as friends and children made fun of him. And he had to deal with all of that. But somewhere in there, Nick called upon the name of the Lord and was saved. And now he's on stages all over the world and he speaks to millions of people. But listen, you can see him on YouTube and there he is on the stage and he's just a torso really with no arms. And there he is. And you won't find him complaining. You won't find him saying, "God messed me up. God messed me up when he created me. And God's a mean." You won't find him doing any of that. What you will find him doing is saying, "God's a good God, and he's worthy to serve, and he's worthy to praise, and he's worthy to give your life to." I tell you this morning, you can live your life in complaint, or you realize how good God is to you this morning. He's worthy. This woman comes in the room. Nobody else notices the Lord for who he is. The disciples are there, but they don't have much to say about the Lord. Maybe they're talking about, I read one place they wanted to know who would be the greatest in the kingdom. Who's the best disciple among us? And maybe they were caught up with themselves again. Those Pharisees were there, and they're talking about how good they are and how righteous they are. But when this woman comes in the room, all their conversation begins to turn and they notice the Lord Jesus Christ. And she comes in the room, she does four things very quickly, four or five things in verse number 38. I want you to notice that she comes in weeping. Now I'm telling you something, if we've got a loss of anything these days, it's a loss of tears in God's people's lives. We are hard-hearted. Our tears are dried up. When's the last time that you got in your prayer closet with God and your tears begin to flow before Almighty God? When's the last time you got in there and you got to thinking about how great God is and you began to weep and pour your heart out in thankfulness and praise unto God Almighty? She came in this room and she was weeping. The Bible said the Lord is nigh unto them who are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. If you want to get God's attention, have some tears in your life. He said he heals the brokenhearted and bindeth up their wounds. She comes in with a weeping in her life. And all those times when we are so full of ourselves, it'd be good if we just broke down before God and quit all the complaining and thinking God ain't doing justice to us and just say like David, "God, you're merciful, you're kind, you're my high tower, you're my defense. I bless your holy name." Came in here weeping, but then also, if you'll notice also in verse number 38, that she came in and washed him.
She began to wash his feet. And later on in the passage, you remember that Simon, Jesus said, "You didn't give me any water to wash my feet with." It was an Oriental custom. Simon had neglected that about the Lord, one of the basics of being a hospitable person, and he neglected that on the Lord, and she came in and began to wash his feet. Listen, let me explain this to you like this. They say that one of the definitions of wash is to put one substance upon another substance. For example, some of you ladies are wearing jewelry in here, but it probably is not real. I don't mean to call you out, but some of it's probably not real. That jewelry, if it was in its basic state, you would not wear it. My girls love Claire's. They always wanting to go to Claire's. They're getting older. They're shaking their head. Now they're stepping up on me. But they love them jewelry stores and all of that. That jewelry, if it was in its basic state, you wouldn't put it on you and think that you look very pretty. It's just a piece of metal. It'll have some rust on it. It may have some welds on it, and you wouldn't wear it like that. But they take that piece of jewelry, and they put it in the gold wash. We call that electroplating. And they put it in the wash, and when they pull it out, it's covered in gold or it's covered in silver. And now you put it on your neck, and you wear it, and you know it makes you look pretty and beautiful until your neck turns green or whatever that's the, whatever happened. My girls say, Daddy, it's turning my finger green. But you put that in the wash and it becomes beautiful. You know why? You know why you do that? Because you want it to look better on you. I cannot improve Jesus Christ in my life, but I can make him look good to the world. God, forgive us for walking around complaining. God, forgive us for walking around and wasting opportunities and divine appointments to talk about our Savior to a lost and dying world. This is Mission Month. You can send your money to the overseas and think you've done well, but we haven't. God, help us to wash our Savior right in our own world, right in our own neighborhoods, right on our jobs and our stores that we attend. Amen. She washed him. She washed him. And that's what God would have us do. Then the Bible said she wiped him. She wiped him with the hairs of her head. She begins to take her hair. Listen, hair is a beauty on a woman. The Bible said it's her glory. And every day you ladies get up and you put your hair in proper fashion to look good. And you walk around with your hair, and if your hair gets out of place, you feel like they say you got a bad hair day, and the whole day's ruined. You say, "How you know that, Brother Tab? I have four daughters and a wife." And if the hair ain't right on a woman, the whole day's bad. It's just a bad day. And so you put that hair in order to look good, you know. It's your glory, God said it was. But you know what she did? She walked in there to the Lord, and she realized, "I'm nothing, he's everything." And she begins to pull them bobby pins out of her hair and whatever's in there, and she grabs that hair and she begins to wipe his feet with her. You know what she did? She sacrificed her glory unto Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to do, children of God. And we need to base ourselves and lift up our Lord. John said, "He must increase, I must decrease." God, help us to wipe our Lord, if you will, with our glory, to expend our glory upon him and not on ourselves. Then the Bible said she kissed him. I love this one. She kissed him. And if you'll read the text, the Bible said, Jesus talking to Simon, he said, "She has not ceased to kiss me since she come in the room." She's been kissing him the whole time. And you know what that tells me? There is much love within this woman's heart. There is much desire towards the Lord within her heart. And then she's kissing his feet consistently the whole time that she is in there. She has a great affection for God. If I want anything in my life, I want a great affection for God. I don't want to be cold on him. God knows he don't deserve we be cold on him. I don't want to be lazy on him. I want to fall deeper in love with my Savior with a great affection that all day, every day, my life is driven with a love for Jesus Christ. But then it also says she anointed him. She anointed him with oil. She brought that alabaster box to anoint him. A couple of things on side note in missions is that she made a purpose. This is the one thing she intended to do. She intended to anoint him. The other things came out of that. She was overwhelmed and she began to weep and kiss him and all that. But she had grabbed that box from back home and she intended to expend it upon him. If you're going to give to God, if you're going to give to his work, you're going to have to make a purpose in your heart to do so. You're going to have to look at that. I don't know if your faith promise. I don't know what you are, but you're going to have to look and say, this is what I'm going to give unto God this year. But then also the thing about that is that it was very valuable. She didn't give she didn't token God. They call it the Baptist dollar some places. You know, some people, you see a bunch of dollars in an offering plate and you wonder, why didn't people prepare to give unto the Lord? You can't outgive God, somebody said, but the only way to try is get out of giving the small stuff and the non-essential stuff and start giving greatly unto God. I remember when I was a teenager, my mama sent me to school with Ezekiel bread. Does anybody know what Ezekiel bread is? God bless you. You've been spared. My brother, I'm sorry. You've been spared. Ezekiel bread is like taking sand and gluing it together and eating it. It doesn't absorb anything, and you wonder, did it scratch my whole body as it went through me? And then she would smear pimento cheese on there. Does anybody like pimento cheese? Thank you, Brother Brad. I knew we were kindred spirit. My wife likes it. I can't stand it. It's nasty stuff. Amen. You're really poor if you're at pimento cheese. That's down below bologna. Hey, amen. That's way down there. And she'd smear that on there, and I was supposed to eat that. And I'd try to trade. And they figured out what my lunch was, and nobody wanted to trade with me. You don't trade a pimento Ezekiel bread sandwich with a Debbie cake. You just don't make that trade unless you've lost your mind. But oftentimes, listen, that's what we token the Lord in our outreach and in our giving, but not this woman. She looked around the house and she said, I'm not gonna bring him, just a little bit of cheap something. She said, I'm grabbing this off the shelf that we've been saving, and this is what I'm gonna expend on the Lord. And I tell you, listen this morning, if you'll give your all to God, you won't go lacking. Hey, he will take care of you and he will be pleased. He said, Paul wrote, that God loveth a cheerful giver. But she comes in there and she's anointing the Lord. Now listen, there are two different stories. You remember the other story is in two different accounts. It sounds like this one, but it's different. In the other story, when she comes, this lady comes in, she anoints his head with oil. And then the Lord said of her that she hath done this unto my death. But neither of those are in this passage. This is a different story. She's anointing his feet. And I begin to wonder, what is she anointing to? What if she's not anointing unto his death, what is she doing? And I read in there and I realize she loves God. I realize that she's just thrilled at Jesus Christ. And I read over there in Psalms that he takes your ashes and he replaces them with beauty. And he gives you joy for mourning. And he said he has the anointment of joy in our lives. I really think this woman coming here and she was thrilled at God. She is full of joy and she began to anoint him with her joy. Hey, child of God, let's get back to being grateful that God saved us. Let's get back to being excited about God in our lives and salvation and the blood of Jesus Christ. Where's the joy of the saints anymore? Amen. Yes. She anoints him with joy. She knew where God got her from. She knew what she was. She didn't need that Pharisee to point it out to her. Amen.
She knew who she was, and she was joyful that God would even look her way. You saved this morning. If you're saved, you ought to be thrilled God looked your way. Amen. And if you're not saved this morning, I want to tell you something. He's looking your way. Nobody else might be joyful about you, but he's interested in you. He likes you. And he's interested in drawing you unto himself. If you just admit you're a sinner and believe on his son, Jesus Christ, you'd find that God joys over you. Three things happen. My wife's come to the piano and I'm done. Three things take place. When you do this, three things. When we learn to live in thankfulness, when we learn to worship our God, three things happen. One, you will notice that it challenged others' estimation of Jesus Christ. Before she came in the room, nobody thought much of Jesus. I believe this Pharisee brought him to his house because he wanted to rub shoulders with a up-and-coming rabbi. Pilate said of them that he knew that they wanted to crucify Jesus because of envy. And so maybe that Pharisee wanted Jesus around him so he could look good, maybe climb another rung in the ladder or whatever. Those disciples are there, and they're talking about whatever. But when this woman comes in the room, she begins to deal with Jesus Christ, and she begins to expend her love upon her. Hallelujah. She begins to show her love upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And as she does this, it begins to challenge the estimations everybody else has of Jesus Christ. It centered all their attention upon Jesus. And they begin to focus and say, doesn't he know this woman? What's he doing? And you and I, if you want to focus the attention of this lost and dying world on Jesus, we're going to have to learn how to be thankful and worship our Savior. We're going to have to learn how to wash him before a lost and dying world. They hate us. And preacher, I think they hate us, some of it because of the way we've been for the last 40 years. Just mean-spirited and cut heads off, you know, and bite and devour one another and all of that. And they don't like us. Where would we be today in this country if the last 40 years, God's people as a whole across this country would have been lauding our Savior like we're supposed to. Would have been lifting him up before them with a right spirit within us. Where would we be in our country? It challenges others. While they look at us and say, you're a bunch of fanatics, they've lost their mind and they're mean and hateful, we can change their mind by going out before them and showing them Jesus is the Savior. Jesus came to save each and every one of us, and he's interested in a broken life. Challenges others' estimation of Jesus Christ. And I'll just skip and I'll give you this one. I want to say this and I'm done. It puts things into perspective. It puts things into perspective. I don't know what's on your mind this morning. I don't know what troubles your heart or the circumstance of your life. And whatever it is, it's real. Problems are real. Life struggles are real. But when we get our attention on him and we begin to thank him and worship him, it puts life into perspective. And you begin to realize it's all about him. It ain't about me. It ain't about my problems. It's all about my Savior, Jesus Christ. Y'all remember the Gatlinburg fires? We were driving through that night as it was going on. We were going from Hickory, North Carolina to Nashville, Tennessee on that Monday evening. And the smoke was in the air, and I had a friend out of Mississippi text me and say, is everything okay in Gatlinburg? And I began to look on the news, and from Asheville through Knoxville, all the about halfway to Nashville, it was nothing but thick smoke. And we began to look at what's going on in Gatlinburg, and I'm telling you what a horrible night that was. 2,400 buildings were destroyed or rendered unusable in that fire. They'll take 5 years at least to rebuild all of that. When we had gotten back the next day or so, Lydia and I went and drove around and saw the devastation.
The people that died in that fire, and that one man, maybe you heard his news, and he got in his car and took his boy to try to find out where the fire was, got hung up in traffic, and left his wife and two daughters at home. He tried to get back to them, and everybody was leaving the city, and he couldn't get back. His wife called him and said, "The fire is all around us. What do we do?" He said, "Call 911, hang up and call 911, and that's the last conversation he ever had with his wife. He finally got back to the neighborhood, but he said the entire neighborhood was on fire. Houses were burning. It took them several days after the fires quit for them to find his wife and two daughters burned up in a neighbor's house where they were running from the fire. We headed back from Nashville that Tuesday night, late Tuesday night. We live on the road. We live by faith. We live by the support of churches and others. And so when something breaks down in our life, it's a travesty. And we had just gone through putting a new engine in our van and cost several thousand out of our own pocket. And as we had been coming into Nashville, I started laughing. And my wife said, "What are you laughing about?" I said, "Our air conditioner and our alternator just quit." And so that next day, we finally got another pastor come by to help me put an alternator in, and we headed back into the Gatlinburg area. It's late that night. It was the night that the tornadoes came through and the hail and devastated Riceville and areas like that of Tennessee. We're driving in and I'm going about 5 miles an hour and the hail is just pouring on us. You can't see it all. And I'm driving, pulling our little camper that we've got, and we're headed in. And I finally got in about 4 a.m. to the place where we were going to set up. And I got out in the rain and my umbrella and unlocked the door, let my wife in the house so that she could begin to pick stuff up off the floor. Because the way we live, when you leave, you got to pack everything up. And when you get there, you got to pick everything back up off the floor. Every few days, my family deals with this, sometimes every other day. And my wife's in there trying to get the house where we can get the girls out of the van or asleep and into the house to rest at 4 a.m. I'm out there hooking up the power and hooking up the water, and I'm complaining in my heart. I'm complaining. And I'm getting the house there, and at that time, somebody has already taken our camper and redone the floor, and we hope to get it tomorrow night. But at that time, you could fall through the floor if you wasn't careful. It was the carpet holding us up. And I walked in there, and I began to help my wife, and I stepped somewhere, and I almost fell through the floor. And it got a hold of me. And I watched my wife, and she was picking stuff up in this life we live. And I said, "Lydia, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you have to live this way. I said, I wish I could do something better. I wish I could build you a house. I'm sorry that you got to live this way." My wife didn't miss a beat. She's reaching down, picking stuff up. She said, "But Sean," thinking about them Gatlinburg fires, she said, "But Sean, if we have what some other people have tonight, we'd surely be thankful for what we've got. We got a great God this morning. He's done well by us. And he's worthy that our lives not be expended in complaint and fight against God because of what goes on. But he's worthy that our lives be expended, that he'd be lifted up and he'd be glorified. He's done well by every one of us." And oh, that we would have the heart like this woman. If you know how God's done for you, if you know where God's got you from, how can you not love him more and more every day of your life? It puts things into perspective. Whatever's going on, whatever you're dealing with, it's not near as important as he is. It really don't matter if you get your eyes on him and lift him up and worship him and be thankful unto him in your lives. Would you stand with me this morning and bow your heads? Father, I love you this morning. God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your care. The Lord God, I pray, God, would you help us this morning? As my wife begins to sing, Father, this altar's down here. I pray, God, you'd help your people find the rest, Lord, in Jesus Christ that they need this morning. There's troubles in here. God, there's things troubling minds. There's heartache. God, help us come this morning. Bend our heart before Almighty God and just give thanks and get things back in the right perspective. God is good. Not use it as a cliche, but really this morning, get things back in this perspective in our lives. And Lord, those that are lost this morning, I pray, God, would you bring them? Would you bring them this morning? God, let them find Jesus. God, Father, you care for them. Father, help this morning. Folks are coming. Folks are coming. Would you please come with all of my heart? With all of my heart. With all of my heart. Listen to me. I preached what I felt like God wanted me to preach this morning. He's got some help for you if you'd come. He knows your heart is broken. He knows your mind is full of fears and troubles. Come on, folks are still coming. Once you come, pour your heart out to him. Give him some thanks. Maybe lay your burden down and say, God, I'm not going to be focused on that. I'm going to leave it in your care and I'm going to focus on you. Are you saved this morning? The pastor's here. Once you come, be saved. He careth for you. Jesus cares for you. Oh, dear sinner, that loneliness in your life, you don't have to live another second with it. You don't have to live another minute of your life in despair. There's a God in heaven, and he sent his precious son, Jesus Christ, to walk up Calvary's hill to pay for your sin debt and to pay your way into heaven. You'll never get there unless you come through Jesus. Watch you come this morning. Dear sinner, please come. Ma'am, sir. Young person, are you saved? You say, what's salvation, Brother Tab? Salvation's a one-time event in your life. It is when you realize you're a sinner headed to hell with no hope, and you cry out to God to save you and be your Savior. He said, call upon the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. Hey, are you desperate yet? You don't know that you got another breath in your body. Won't you come be saved this morning? Come meet Jesus. You'll find out it is all about him. What a Savior. What a Savior this morning. Glory.